Welcome to the first episode of the fourth season of Memory Static, the podcast that digs up the movies you watched when you were little, talks about them, and throws a party to watch them. I'm your host, Bailey Moore, and I'm pleased to welcome guests Jasper and Alex Lewis. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Tell us a little about yourselves before we get to the movie.
I am an actor and a comedian and a writer in Los Angeles. And I grew up watching this movie on the Disney Channel, on VHS, on DVD. It was kind of like a staple in our household of the movies that we would watch over and over again.
Amazing.
I am her husband, Alex Lewis. I'm an actor and musical comedian. I'm part of the comedy trio Lewberger. You might have seen me in TV shows like Dexter, or movies like Valley Girl, and Lewberger tours across the country, and we just had an off-Broadway show called The Wizard of Friendship.
Amazing. That's so cool. And Alex, you also grew up watching this movie?
So my experience with this movie was when I was in high school to like my mid-20s, I went through a very weird obsession of watching Alvin and the Chipmunk clips with their voices normal. So like somebody taking the footage from Alvin and the Chipmunks and then slowing it down so that you could hear what their voices actually sounded like. And the way I actually discovered this movie was through just like weird YouTube rabbit holes and then like seeing one of the top songs from this movie, The Boys / Girls of Rock and Roll. And I fell in love with that song.
Yeah.
Got really into this insane song of the Chipmunks and the Chipettes going through Paris and singing this like rock and roll tune. I hadn't actually seen the movie until I married Jasper. Actually, no, it was before we got married. It was during the pandemic. I knew about the movie and had seen a lot of clips from it. I just had never seen it in full because there wasn't really a place to see it.
That's so interesting. So like, you had never seen the movie, but you were aware of the song and that the movie existed.
I was very aware of the song. I'd like memorized the song. I put it on my iPod. I listened to it.
It's such a great song.
It's really catchy.
It is really catchy.
I feel like every few years, some big YouTuber will make a video about it too. And it just kind of resurfaces.
Yeah.
And find it without ever seeing the movie.
So y'all probably know this then. I was going to put this in the like later on. We were talking about the making of the movie, but I never realized until I started researching that that song is a cover.
What?
Yes. Okay. You didn't know this.
No. What?
It's a cover from a song from a movie, and it's just the girls of rock and roll.
What?
They had changed it to the girls and boys for the Chipmunks movie.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's the girls of rock and roll from a movie from 1986 called Malibu Bikini Shop.
The Malibu Bikini Shop.
What?
This is like mind-blowing information.
Yeah, you're blowing me away right now.
Cool.
I gotta look this up right now. Hold on. I didn't know that, and I do want to preface, like, I was a big Alvin and the Chipmunks fan as a kid. Like,
The show was great.
I watched, like, Curse of the Weremonk. I watched the Batman one. I think it was called Batmonk. Wait, how did you find this? Because I'm looking to find this.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it anywhere.
Maybe he buried that, too. Oh, my gosh.
Well, so I looked up the girls and boys of rock and roll, and there was, like, a fan site that said that like fans call it the boys and girls of rock and roll, but the song is actually the girls of rock and roll. And that's when I found the movie, and I found the movie on IMDb.
I found it.
Yeah, there is like a clip from the movie, and like I would have put that the pre-screening, but it was just a bunch of butts.
So the movie is called The Malibu Bikini Shop?
Yes.
We have to watch this movie.
Yeah.
This is
1986.
This is
I'm sorry.
Blowing
like,
me away.
Our minds.
Is it a musical?
I am not sure. The scene that I saw was a montage scene with mostly bikini butts. But, you know, I tried to figure out if it was actually a scene from the movie or if someone had made that montage from scenes from the movie.
Bruce Greenwood's in the
Look
movie.
Look at the poster. It's probably in the movie. It also might just be like a Teen Witch situation where it's like half musical, like not really.
It looks, just from like the posters and stuff, it sort of looks like a Porky's type of movie or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, we gotta watch this movie, Jess.
Okay. I'm down.
So where did y'all grow up?
I grew up in Georgia. I actually grew up about 20 minutes away from Allie, who is gonna be joining us later. It was super rural, so we kind of had to rely on VHS tapes for entertainment because like the cable was unreliable. We only had like 18 channels. Yeah, our upbringings were very different. He's a Calabasas boy.
Yeah, I grew up in Calabasas, California, down the street from the Kardashians. And it was pretty typical Valley guy lifestyle, I'd say. I was an only child. But yeah, I grew up in Calabasas, California.
How did y'all meet?
We met doing a musical parody version of the show Lost, which was all, I believe there were 6 seasons of Lost.
Yeah, it was all 6 seasons.
All 6 seasons, and they were kind of just like smushed into this 3-hour show.
It wasn't 3 hours.
It ran about, the runtime was almost 3 hours. The songs were just parodies of top 40 hits throughout the years.
Very Alvin and the Chipmunk-like, really.
Oh, it was a jukebox musical.
Sort of.
It wasn't a jukebox musical, technically, because all of the songs were parodies, but it sort of a jukebox musical.
It was definitely, it was something. And so we met during rehearsals for that, but...
On my birthday.
Yeah, on his birthday. I was kind of having a hard time, like, making friends and, like, getting excited. Like, I think halfway through the rehearsal process, I showed up, and...
Well, what happened was we sort of became acquaintances, and we were actually both dating other people at the time, but I had a general crush on her.
We hadn't even talked or anything until...
We had.
But very, like, formal, like,
no,
hi.
We'd hung out a couple times.
That's not how it happened.
And then...
I walked into rehearsal one day, and he was, like, singing the song.
You were singing it.
Huh?
You were singing it. You were singing
then
the song.
Then I started it, and he finished
and
it. oh, wow, we must have some very niche... interest.
She said, you told me that that's when you knew you had a crush on me.
You were singing The Girls and Boys of Rock and Roll?
Yes.
Yeah. I was. She finished it.
She claimed that that was when she knew she had a crush on me.
That was when I knew I had a friend in the cast.
Oh, that is not what you said. Said that's when you knew
we
could work.
We weren't really talking to each other at rehearsals before that point.
That's not how I remember it. I think
that you remember it a little differently. Which is okay, you know? Both of these stories are great.
I think it's pretty safe to say that your relationship kind of started with Alvin and the Chipmunks.
I think so, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whether I'm right, which I am, or she's right.
Which I am.
It definitely started either way with Alvin and the Chipmunks. And I guess the Malibu Bikini Factory.
Yeah. You know what? Like, this really started with the Malibu Bikini Factory in 1986.
You kind of alluded to it before, but how did Alvin and the Chipmunks play into your wedding?
We were interviewed by the officiant separately beforehand, and I think we both brought up how that song...
Well, I'll tell you. I remember exactly how it happened. Because Keith came up to me. My band partners comes up to me and he goes, you're going to play the Chipmunk song, right? Because our speeches in our wedding both involved the song.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I realized,
and
oh,
it was
shit.
Part of the officiant speech as well.
Yeah. And so Keith comes up to me, he's like, you've got that on the playlist, right? And I was like, oh my God, no, I don't.
It's not on Spotify.
Well, and I also
gone.
I'd forgotten. So I run up to the DJ and I was like, hey, can you figure out a way to play this really obscure Alvin and the Chipmunk song? And so he went on YouTube and he downloaded it.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
My relatives in Georgia were just like, what the hell is
so, but
this Calabasas?
But when, like, when the song started playing, Jasper got really excited and just like jumped into the middle of the dance floor and said, okay, everybody, men on that side, women on that side. And recreated the scene from the Chipmunk Adventure. We don't have a video of it.
We don't have a video of it.
Oh my gosh. Like, it wasn't long before the wedding when y'all put it on the playlist.
It was at the wedding.
It was at the wedding. Okay, so, like, if you had thought about it beforehand, do you think you might have done a choreographed dance?
So my initial proposal idea was to get Keith and Huey from my band together to be the three chipmunks. And, like, sir, I swear to God, I was going to have us dress up as Alvin and the Chipmunks and bring Jasper to the theater where we did Lost the Musical and do the Boys, Girls of Rock and Roll to propose to her.
Oh my gosh.
That was my original idea. We ended up not doing that.
Yeah. And
maybe for the best, but that was the original idea. So it was very much on the mind, I think. Oh, that's the other thing. Efficient incorporated lyrics from the song in his, like, officiation speech.
It was just in every part of the wedding. I'm amazed that, well, the only reason it probably wasn't involved in the decor was because my mother-in-law planned the whole thing. Mm. She's a saint that way. If we had planned it, I probably would have gotten, like, chipmunk paper plates. Just, like, leaned all the way in or something.
Yeah. The officiant said, I think he quoted, "What we have is what we will be given." Yeah, well, those are the lyrics.
I could hear that being sung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really wish we could pull that soundbite, because he just said it in a very poetic
way. We got that on video.
Yeah, somewhere.
I'll go ahead and tell you right now that one of the things that I put in the pre-show was a video of some people recreating the scene.
I've seen that. Very cute.
The one where I found two of them, and I picked the one I liked better.
The Nostalgia Critic, I think, did a video of that as well.
I also found a clip from one of the TV show episodes where the Chipettes sing that song, but it's not from the movie. It's a completely different animated sequence.
The Girls of Rock and Roll?
Yeah.
They sing it on the TV show too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one in the version in the movie is way better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is so crazy. I can't believe how big of a life this song
has. Listen, Mr. Chipmunk knew.
Mr. Bag de Sarah.
He knew he had a hit.
Wow.
And he was like, we gotta use this.
He's like, this song was in a forgettable movie from 1986 called Malibu Bikini Shop, and it needs to be repurposed for my movie.
They were so nice to let us use this really cool song.
So I wonder why they liked it. I mean, it's, again, very catchy song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Crazy to me that they used it for both the movie and the TV show.
I would use it for everything I could.
Yeah.
If it were me.
Jasper, I wanted to ask you, were there any scenes that stuck out to you as a child that maybe carried through to adulthood, except for the Boys and Girls of Rock and Roll?
Any scene with the villains. So the movie, I think they used three different animation studios because the whole thing was, like, entirely self-financed. So the human characters that weren't Dave and Mrs. Miller were animated by a different studio. And you can tell because the style of animation, the way that they move, the way that they're drawn does not fit in.
I read somewhere that some critic compared it to Ralph Bakshi.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't fit. And, like, once I read that, I was like, it's totally, like, it feels more like Ralph Bakshi.
It's very, like, high-end Ralph Bakshi. Like, if, like, Ralph Bakshi at a fashion show. That's how I would describe it. And Alex didn't like those characters because they were so disturbing looking.
Well, yeah, and they're also scary.
They're scary. I think they're great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love them, but they're scary.
They're terrifying. So much of this movie is just, like, so bizarre. But the voice acting, they're so angular and just so contrasty to everything around them.
Mm-hmm.
I have these vague memories of, like, Klaus and Claudia at the pool, and she flicks something into the pool with her foot. It's this really well animated foot. And then it hits the dog, and the dog is just like, what?
Yeah.
And that scene, it's not really pivotal in terms of the plot, but, like, it was just so weird to me.
Oh, yeah, I love the pool scene. It is. It's, like, a really strangely choreographed scene.
Yeah.
I think it's to show, like, how decadent they are and how, like, they just spend all their time relaxing in a sauna or the pool or whatever while, like, they have children doing their dirty work all over the world.
I know.
One of the things that definitely stayed in my mind from this movie, and just a warning to anybody that's listening, this might be a little bit of a spoiler, is when they're hanging above the water with the alligators at snapping up at them. I've had so many nightmares into adulthood, even recently, of being on some kind of swinging wooden thing over a bunch of alligators. And it wasn't until I rewatched this movie for this that I made the connection. I was like, no wonder, this is where it comes from. It has to. And the other thing is how much I always wanted to slide down the luggage thing onto the conveyor belt. I wanted to do what they did in this movie.
It looks so fun.
I think about it every time I go into an airport.
Yeah. Anything with Miss Miller and David, the phone call. We're like,
David,
are you drunk? There's so many things that are just wildly inappropriate in this movie. In a children's movie, you would never have somebody smoking, which Claudia always had that long cigarette, but also you would never allude to the possibility of anyone having a drinking problem. Not in broad children's media anywhere except the 80s.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Just flat out asked him if he was drunk.
I love her voice too, the voice actor. David! It's so good.
David!
Are you drunk? So good.
So good.
Warning, your broadband service may experience interruptions.
So this is for both of y'all. We're going to do one more question, and then I think that the time machine is starting to warm up. So these kids, they're chipmunks, but they're children. They were able to travel all around the world unsupervised, which had to be so exciting for them. Do you remember instances of being unsupervised and getting into trouble maybe, or just some kind of hijinks?
I was the kind of kid that was always running away from my mom at the mall. And I would kind of just pretend that different places in the mall were a new house that I could move into. I was just I could live here forever until my mom makes me go home with her. I remember watching the movie and the fact that these children were called to go on this around the world mission, that didn't seem that far-fetched to me at all. In fact, I found it very aspirational as a child. And I was just I could be international diamond postman. this is because I didn't see them as thieves. I was just they're just doing the mail. when you're a kid, that's they're making deliveries. It was one of those things where I was man, I could do what they're doing. Easy. I could do that. So.
Yeah, I think that when I was a kid, I didn't understand exactly what they were exchanging. Because I was diamonds and money, they both are valuable. Which one are they dropping off? I didn't really get it.
Children are diamonds, money, good. We're good. that's all they need. And then when you're an adult, you're these people were probably involved in a cocaine trade or something. But I don't know. It was the 80s.
Yeah, I did try to look something up about diamonds in the 80s. And I wish I'd had more time to really look into it. But one of the things that I found was that 20% of the diamonds in the 80s were blood diamonds from a certain country. And so I'm wondering if that might have influenced the storyline of this movie.
You hit the nail on the head. That's it.
Yeah. Well, how about you, Alex?
The only time I can really think of when I was abroad / unsupervised was we went on a carnival cruise, my family and I, when I was 16. And I just hung out at the kids club, the teen club, for the whole week. I just felt this is what adult life is, you know, just going to the dance club. It was a dance club where you could only go if you were 18 or younger. You know, this is what adult life is like. It's just going to the dance club and eating chicken nuggets whenever you want. And I remember it was 2 a.m. and, you know, being with the teens from the teen club, and we went out on the Lido deck and would give ourselves a little, you know, soft serve ice cream. There was just unlimited soft serve all over the boat, wherever you wanted it. I mean, this is adulthood right here. That's sort of what I felt like. So I kind of felt a little bit like Theodore when he's grabbing that couscous during Boys of Rock and Roll.
Oh my God.
He's just making his own decisions.
That poor little chipmunk. I just want them to let him eat.
That's all he wants.
Well, but he can't. He has to get back to defending his title as one of the boys of rock and roll.
He's the only one that seems interested in experiencing the culture while they're like going to different places.
Theodore is clearly like, you know, even though Simon is technically the smartest one because he has glasses, I think that Theodore, in the end, I think Theodore is just the most well-rounded.
Doesn't Simon also like invent a bunch of stuff though?
Yeah, but like...
He's like literally a genius.
Notice the time machine has been warming up.
Well, I think that the time machine has been like warming up and I think it's about time. So you should be seeing your door appear anywhere around you sometime soon. Since you're in California, I'm in Texas. Like I had to like put in your coordinates, but it should be appearing anytime now. So just let me know when you see it.
Okay. It's here. Let's open up the door.
Oh, it's already here. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like the door I'm experiencing is sort of an internal door, so I can just open it up and see, you know, just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I hope that doesn't hurt.
Well, we'll find out together.
Well, so if for anyone listening that hasn't seen this movie, once we enter the slow-moving time machine, there will be spoilers for sure. If you want to watch the movie beforehand, this is where you pause and then pick back up once you've watched the movie. Unfortunately, it's kind of hard to find The Chipmunk Adventure. You can find a DVD. They are for sale. But as far as finding them online, nearly impossible. With that, Jasper and Alex, are you ready to go into the time machine?
Yes!
All right, I'll see you inside.
Welcome. We've been trying to reach you concerning your time machine's extended warranty. You have received a notice in the mail about your time machine's extended warranty eligibility. We have not gotten a response. You have a final courtesy call before we close out your file. Press 2 to remove, and based on our journal call list, please fix the room after possibly extending or decreasing your time machine's extended warranty. Press 1. Keep the warranty.
You have selected 2.
Goodbye.
All right, welcome to the slow-moving time machine.
Oh, wow. It seems like the Chipmunk's Adventure input caused a runtime approximation error due to an overflow of time machine dynamic
parameters.
In other words, we might experience occasional time-speed discrepancies,
turning us, as far as a listener is concerned, into chipmunks. We might have a bit of a dilation here at the start, so if there's anything you've ever wanted to say as a chipmunk, you better get it out now.
Oh, no.
Okay, it's starting to
sound like a little more normal now. Is it about the same for y'all?
Oh, yeah, it sounds great.
You sound normal.
Okay, so now that that's out of the way, please make yourselves comfortable. I don't know how much Allie told you about the slow-moving time machine and her experience in the slow-moving time machine for The Watcher in the Woods, but do y'all understand where you are and what it does?
Yes.
Not really, but I'm excited to give it a go.
Okay, so basically what it does is your existence has been split into two. We have us that are in the time machine right now talking about the movie, and then there's another version of us that is at the party watching the movie with everyone else. So we are having the conversation about the movie, and it's slightly faster than real time, so or the timeline that we're normally on, so that we'll finish this conversation at about the same time that we're also finishing the movie out there. So when we step off of the slow-moving time machine, your memories will converge, and you'll remember both.
Sounds great.
So sometimes people do like feel
a little like disoriented occasionally. So, you know, if you ever feel that, it's just normal as the time machine. Have some water. There's a water dispenser next to you.
Any questions about that?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Alrighty. So the Chipmunk Adventure. I'm really excited to talk to y'all about this movie. How old do you think the chipmunks are? Not like as their character age, but how old the characters are within media.
From like conception?
Yes.
I would say they've been around since at least the 60s.
I think before that even, it's been since the 50s.
Late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah, no, that's very good. Back in 1958.
Oh, wow.
Alvin, Simon, Theodore in 1958 had their first steps towards existence with the release of a song by Ross Bagdasarian called
Witch Doctor, right?
The Witch Doctor, yes, exactly. And it was a very, very popular song that held the number one spot on the top 100 Billboard chart for 3 weeks. Now, this song is in the Chipmunk Adventure, right?
Yeah, they do a little bit of The Witch Doctor.
Who sings it? Do you know?
Oh.
It wasn't Elvin?
No, you're going to have to remind us.
It's Miss Miller.
Yeah.
She sings it in the car as she's going to pick up David from the airport, which I thought was cute that they included it, but it wasn't the chipmunk singing it.
Yeah.
It's a little Easter egg.
So in The Witch Doctor, which y'all have both heard this song, what's the defining feature of the song? You know, how would you describe it to someone that had never heard of it or the chipmunks?
Probably that it's got three chipmunk sounding voices in it.
And what makes it a chipmunk sounding voice? Have you ever thought about how a song like this is recorded?
In the 50s, I imagine they had to get real flow. No, I think what they probably did was record just the ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, wah-wah-wah, bang-bang, and then sped that up and recorded it, probably.
That's very, very close. So the technique, which is called pitch shifting or frequency scaling, is not unique to the chipmunks, nor were they first to use it. The technique, for example, was used on the Munchkins in The Wizard of Oz. And I learned that Mel Blanc's Daffy is just Sylvester's voice slightly sped up, which I'd never known that. They did, however, the chipmunks, take over pop culture as the most popular characters that made it a consistent trait of their character. And they are so enduring that it's impossible to hear the technique and not think of it as chipmunking, which is like how you, Alex, said, well, they sound like chipmunks.
Uh-huh. Right.
But like, you know, chipmunks don't speak, you know, but we think of it as chipmunking.
But chipmunks do kind of make noises, though. That like, you know, they do make little sounds like squirrels or like...
Yeah, well, and they're small with small vocal cords, so it's very high-pitched.
Right.
I think that part of it, too, is that they sing. So there's a lot of other, like, characters that, for instance, Chip and Dale, where their voices were pitched up, and that was well before Alvin and the Chipmunks, but they didn't sing songs. They were not musical in the same way. So anyway, this is how it was done. Ross Bagdasarian would record himself three times, individually, singing on an audio tape at half the normal speed. When it's played at normal speed, the voices are pitched up one octave. So when the voices are layered over the music that was recorded at normal speed and played at normal speed, it still sounds like it's in the same key because it's just one octave higher. And y'all know how octaves work?
Yeah.
Okay. So anybody that doesn't understand how octaves work, it's just a multiple of the same frequency as the lower one. So if it was a C and it went up one octave, it's just doubling that frequency. So it stays in the same key. So Dave and the Chipmunks were primarily characters on successful novelty records. Mm-hmm. They were just musical.
I have a quick question. Is Dave voiced by Mr. Bagdasarian?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, David Seville is Ross Bagdasarian.
Nice.
And he's also one of the Chipmunks, right?
Yes, he did all of the voices. I've actually found a clip of him on, what is the name of that late night variety show?
It must have been like Ed Sullivan or something.
Yeah, I think it might have been Ed Sullivan. He appears with the chipmunks, but they're all puppets, and they sing the chipmunk song, the Christmas one.
Uh-huh.
They had their first foray into the animation world in 1961 with the short-lived The Alvin Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you've seen the old one.
Yeah, well, I think Nickelodeon played it on reruns.
They used to include it in the show they had on Nickelodeon called Wienerville.
Oh.
Nickelodeon had this weird, it was a show that was clearly inspired by Pee Wee's Playhouse. It was called Wienerville, and it was hosted by this guy whose name was literally Mark Wiener. And they'd have the puppets that were human heads but tiny puppet bodies, and that was the meat of the show. And then they would do these interludes, and they would show old Mr. Peabody cartoons and old Alvin cartoons.
I didn't remember that. Wow.
Just Alvin and the,
yeah.
The Alvin show, yeah.
Right, yeah, because I grew up watching, which I'm going to get to in a second, but Alvin and the Chipmunks, the 80s TV show.
Watch out, because here we come.
Yes,
that one.
Yes.
But the Alvin show did not do very well, and it was canceled after one season. And Ross Bagdasarian released his final Chipmunks record in 1969, and then he passed away a few years later. Mm-hmm. And that might have been the end of the Chipmunks' career in the 20th century, at least, with the obsession of nostalgia and old intellectual property in the 2010s, I feel like it would have come back by then anyway, if it hadn't come back earlier.
But his son took over, right?
Yeah, his son took over in the 80s, but there were a couple different things that revitalized the Chipmunks' career in the popular culture in the 80s. The first thing that happened was that NBC picked up the old Alvin show for syndication. And shortly after that, there was a radio station that facetiously played Blondie's Call Me at 45 RPM instead of 33 and a half, which pitched up the whole track. And they called it the new Chipmunks release, just as a joke.
Yeah.
But it was so popular, and so many people responded requesting them play the new Chipmunk song, that Ross Bagdasarian Jr. jumped right into his dad's shoes and released an album called Chipmunk Punk.
What? Chipmunk Punk?
Yeah, Chipmunk Punk, which...
Nice.
There are not really punk songs on there.
No.
Other than Call Me, which is on there, the other songs, some of the other highlights are Billy Joel, You May Be Right, Crazy Little Thing Called Love, and My Sharona.
Right.
Which I think is like one of the things that makes the Chipmunks so enduring, is that you can change them to fit the culture at any time. Just change the pop music that they're singing.
Yeah.
Kind of like, now that's what I call music, kids bop.
Oh my gosh, kids bop. Yeah, they're a super versatile property.
So it was so popular that several more albums were pressed. And shortly after that, Dave Seville and the Chipmunks began to appear in TV specials.
Oh, nice.
And it was just a matter of time before they got another chance at a TV show. And that happened in 1983 with the animated show, like y'all were saying before, Alvin and the Chipmunks. And y'all remember watching that show.
Yeah, I watched it in syndication. There's like this phenomenon of shows that we watched when we were children where they maybe ran for 2 to 3 seasons at the most.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like the episodes went on forever.
Yeah.
And as an adult, you're like, no, there were like 8 seasons of this. And then you look it up, but there were actually 3, maybe.
Yeah, because like some shows were just syndicated and you'd watch like the same season over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But like in the case of Alvin and the Chipmunks, it was actually really successful. Mm-hmm. And it continued from 1983 to 1990. So there were 8 seasons in total.
Oh, okay. So there really were like a bunch of them. Okay.
Yeah. So that one actually did go on and on forever.
Yeah. That's great.
But that brings us to our movie, The Chipmunk Adventure.
Yes.
It was in the middle of the 5th season in 1987 that the Chipmunk Adventure was produced. And you said earlier, Jasper, that they funded it themselves.
It was largely funded themselves. I think that there might have been like a more traditional investor, but that they definitely didn't cover the majority of the film's expenses. But I don't know who that investor would have been.
I didn't find that information either, but what I did learn was that Ross Bagdasarian Jr. and his wife, Janice Carmen, they had made so much money off of the success of the TV show that that's what they ended up using to fund this movie, was the money that they made from the TV show. And Ross Bagdasarian and his wife, Janice Carmen, they wrote the script together and then Janice directed it.
Go Janice.
Yeah, go Janice.
They save money on director's fees.
You know, I feel like they could have.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just paying yourself back with your own money.
Yeah, basically.
So one of the things that always stuck out to me about this movie is that the animation is quite good for a non-Disney movie that's made in the 80s, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. It's noticeably better than most movies that were being produced from other studios at the time.
Right, because a lot of animated movies were produced by the same studios that would make Saturday morning cartoons, which used a lot of limited animation techniques.
Deke was the big one around that time.
Which one?
Deke.
Filmation was also a big one. They did He-Man and She-Ra.
Yeah.
So I've talked a little bit in this podcast, including the episode that I did with Allie, about the Walt Disney Animation Studios and the trouble that they were in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And they had been struggling for a while, but the big box office failure of The Black Cauldron kind of like really put them into dire straits. And that led to a lot of Disney animators being laid off.
Uh-huh.
So you had all these Disney trained animators that, you know, needed somewhere else to work.
Mm-hmm.
And three former Disney animators that were part of that big layoff were hired to be animators on the Chipmunk movie. That was Glenn Keane, Dan Haskett, and Dave Pruiksma. And like you said earlier, that there were different studios that animated the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, like, the most of the animation was done in LA and New York, but the ink and paint portions were outsourced to animation studios overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to a lot of delays and the production going over budget.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found really interesting was that because of that, they had to shorten a lot of scenes, which makes the movie much shorter, and they cut out a bunch of planned ones. So there were a lot of other places that the Chipmunks and the Chipettes were supposed to visit.
That movie, the final cut was like, I think it's like 89 minutes. Like, it's a good runtime. So like, how long was that movie gonna be? That's the question I have. And also, like, are those animatics like out there somewhere? If they're breathing on the backgrounds, then the principal animation might have already been done.
Right. I read somewhere that on certain DVD releases, there were extra features, like special features that included some of the deleted scenes and stuff, but I don't know how complete they are.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if Bagdasarian Jr. like knows that there's like this like tiny, I think he should release like a special edition, like Blu-ray or something.
Yeah.
With these features with a special disclaimer that's like, hey, just FYI. And then like just everything that they can get, because it's clear that the family like loves this property, you know, and it's like dear to them.
Yeah.
I think they should share it.
I agree, you know, and just put that disclaimer on there, like you said. So the Chipmunk Adventure did like okay in the box office. There wasn't like a whole lot of advertising for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Janice and Ross didn't see their money made back completely until well into DVD sales. But they did eventually. And I think that they were really happy with the product that they made.
Yeah.
And that's really all I have.
Yeah. For the most part, the movie is a great time.
Great time.
Like, I think it's a solid great time.
Yeah, it really is. There's so many different scenes that I love in this movie. I love the underwater scene. I love the part where they meet up in Greece, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love all the scenes with Miss Miller. I think she's my favorite.
Everything.
I love when she's like patting herself and like getting dough all over her butt.
Yeah. What a detail.
Yeah, right.
There's this weird number with the girls and the snakes. But like, for that being like as an adult joke as it is, like for a child, it completely went over my head. Like, which I feel like a lot of times, especially like in movies now, when they're inserting the adult jokes into the movies, like they're, I watch it and I'm just like, I feel like I would have caught that this was weird when I was a child. But because it's just so broad and so like, the girls, they're trying to get out of a thing, there's snakes in the thing,
mm-hmm.
they're singing to get out. That's like literally, that was it.
Yeah, that's all I thought. I was like, get lucky. I thought it just meant like, trick them.
Trick them, we're getting out of here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna get lucky by like tricking you and get out of here.
And you're older and you're just like, oh wait, the lyrics are get lucky and there are snakes. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, an interesting choice to be discussed.
Yes, I can't wait. So are y'all ready to...
Huh.
Hello?
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 What's happened to everybody? Everybody? Where is everybody?
Location data encrypted. Error. Corrupted.
Hi.
just so you know, those of you that are listening, I stepped off the slow-moving time machine, and I'm here where the party is supposed to be, but there's nobody here. I remember who's supposed to be here because I remember watching the movie with everyone, but now no one's here, and it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what's happening.
Blockchain protocol initiated. Locating. Blocks.
Huh?
Locating.
What? Locating who?
Guest location information acquired. Diaspora complete.
Wait. You sent them other places that aren't here?
Calibrated upon subconscious desire.
Why did you do that?
Error.
Why am I still here then?
Arithmetic exception.
Okay, let me get this straight. I think that the time machine has placed people, I don't even know where, all over the world?
Correct.
Oh my gosh. Well, can you find where they are?
Calibrating. Possibilities. Endless.
Yay!
Okay. Is there any way you can contact them so I can let them know what's happening?
Please
specify. Please.
Like, I don't know. Open a line of communication so I can talk to them.
Calibrating invisible science waves.
Connecting. Invisible science waves.
Connecting.
Of course.
Connecting.
Connection established.
With who?
Owl.
Okay. Well, let's see who it is. Oh, I think it's Chaney. Chaney?
Bailey, is that you? I don't know what happened, but I'm not at the party anymore.
Okay, now, don't panic, but it seems like after we finished the movie, the time machine set all the guests down in different places around the world. Can you tell me where you are?
Let's see. I'm walking this very narrow alley. Everything looks really old. There's a few paths to take.
Okay.
I think these are houses, but I'm not sure. I feel like I'm in a labyrinth. This is kind of creepy. I don't hear cars or anything.
Weird.
Oh, wait. There's water.
Water?
I think it's a canal.
What?
Is that a gondola? Oh, no way. Oh, I think I'm in Venice. Oh, this is so exciting.
Cool.
I had a lot of thoughts about the chipettes and the dancing snakes, but I think we're going to have to talk about that at another time. I'm going to get lost here and find some place to stay before I think of anything else.
Oh, have so much fun. I wish I could be there with you. I'm so jealous. All right, I'll check in with you later.
Goodbye.
Okay, well, that's one down.
Affirmative.
Recalibrating connection.
Initiating GPS location tracking.
Accessing microchip data.
Is that Charlie? Did you find him?
Connecting.
Charlie? Charlie, can you hear me?
Busy. The Chipmunk's adventure can wait. I'm in Tokyo. I've always wanted to come here and never thought I would. I'm going to get to it. See you when I get back.
Oh, goodbye. Okay. Bye. I guess he adapted immediately, and he doesn't need an explanation. That's pretty cool. I guess I don't need to worry about him.
Gochu Zaigo Mas.
Okay. Who else was at the party? Who else was at the party? L, let's see if we can get a hold of L. Hopefully she's having just as good a time as Chaney or Charlie.
Calibrating.
Okay, do you got her?
Locating letter 11.
L. It's L time machine. L.
It's L time machine. L.
L, can you hear me?
Who's there?
Don't worry. It's just Bailey.
This is too much. Oh my god, Bailey?
Yes, it's me. It's me, Bailey. The time machine has created a line of communication using some kind of science waves that I don't understand, but here we are.
Invisible science waves. Calibrating.
See? Yes. Thank you, time machine. We know.
It's a relief to hear from you since I don't know what's going on.
The time machine has transported everyone to different...
Given class point exception.
I think that what the time machine means by that is everyone except me. Correct?
Affirmative.
Yeah, so transported everyone except me to different cities around the world. Just out of curiosity, what's the last thing that you remember?
We were just finishing that movie, and then suddenly I'm in this damp place. I think it's a city, but the whole place feels like a castle. It reminds me of that one Goosebumps movie, A Night in Terror Tower.
Oh, I remember that one. That's the one with the kids, and they get pursued by the guy with the axe and the black hood, and they get transported in time. So are you saying it feels kind of medieval-y?
Yeah, maybe. Can the time machine tell me where I am?
Increasing brightness contrast.
What does that even mean? All right. The time machine is continuing to be remarkably unhelpful. So I will stay on these inexplicable science waves and help you figure out where you are.
Thanks, that would be nice.
What do you see?
Okay, cobblestone streets.
Okay.
Tall spires, some hills in the distance that seem outside of town.
All right.
It kind of feels like the city is built on a hill.
Sounds familiar. Do you see any signs or shops that might give us some idea? Any people around?
Generating sheep.
Okay, sheep? It seems like the time machine knows something that we don't.
Oh, I just heard someone shouting something with a very heavy Scottish brogue. You know what? I think I'm in Edinburgh.
Oh, cool. Edinburgh is a really neat place. Way, way back, I went on a really informative walking tour. That city has some ghosts. Well, how are you feeling about being there?
It's definitely on my bucket list.
You sound a little uncertain about it.
Generating sheep.
Okay, thanks. You were saying, Elle?
Not to sound ungrateful, because this is pretty cool and all, but is the time machine going to transport us back home as well? Because I didn't plan for this.
Generating bureaucratic lubricating documentation.
Pocket creative. Please find required documentation.
All right, the time machine is saying that it's providing you with all the necessary documents and money in order for you to return home whenever you want.
Okay, sounds great. I'm going to book that ghost tour you mentioned. Hopefully by the time I make it back, I'll remember what I wanted to say about the chipmunks.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's actually going to happen. The static is already settling in. But you have fun. I can't wait to hear about your adventures when you get back.
Okay, see you. Bye.
Degenerating sheep.
Oh, gosh. Does that mean there are no more sheep in Scotland anymore? What did you do?
Error.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, what a mess. Okay, I can't think about that right now. We still have Kate, Alex, and Jasper, and Texana. Can you locate Texana?
Locating. Blockchain encryption broken. Finding data. Data found. Establishing science connection. Sound waves initiated.
Science connection. Great. Texana! Real quick, it's me, Bailey. I'm not with you. I'm still at the party. The time machine has transported you somewhere else in the world. Are you okay?
What? This is crazy, Bailey. You said the slow-moving time machine did this?
Yep.
Bureaucratic pocket dimension created.
The time machine has just created pockets for you somewhere on your body that has everything you need. Passport, wallet, money for your return.
You're right. I've got everything I need in my pocket.
Fantastic. Okay, well, let's figure out where you are because the time machine is being really cagey about it.
Error. Encrypted.
Whoa, I don't know where I am. Give me a second.
Take your time.
Okay, I think people are speaking Spanish, okay. But that only narrows it down so much.
Right.
Wherever I am, the weather is very different. I'm definitely not in the right clothes.
Ooh.
I'll need to fix that soon. Time machine couldn't give me the appropriate wardrobe.
Burn.
Insufficient blocks.
Only half kidding. Okay, so there is this really impressive building and some mountains behind. Wait, what? I think there are words carved in the mountain. Hold on. Viva el Peru? I'm in Peru? Perdona. ¿Dónde estoy? Holy sh... I'm in Cusco.
What?
I can see Machu Picchu. How did the time machine know to put me here?
Subconscious desire, calibration,
calculation,
initiated,
established, retroactively put.
I think that means that the time machine determined that that's where you truly wanted to go in your heart or something like that.
Generating potatoes.
I'm going to eat so much potatoes. I don't know if I'm more excited about the ancient city or the food.
Oh, I've heard that the food is incredible. I wish I could be there with you.
Connection terminated.
I didn't even get to say goodbye.
Unnecessary. Connection established.
Oh. Oh, it's Kate.
Bailey! I was wondering if I would hear from you.
Here I am.
I'm in Paris.
Oh.
I don't know where everyone else is, but I'm gonna go be in Paris. So you could have told us that after watching the chipmunks travel the world, that the time machine would send us all over the world too. I might have packed more.
I didn't know. The time machine did this all on its
own. But that's fine. I'm in Paris.
You're doing better than me, I can promise you that.
Generating tower, comma, Eiffel.
And all I need is my wallet and my... Oh, my passport's here. That's convenient. Thanks, slow-moving time machine. You're the best.
I love you.
I love Paris. I can't wait to find a cafe, get a pastiche, and look at the Paris people. The Parisians. Parisians. Parisians? Parisians? Parisians.
You keep practicing that, okay? All right. Enjoy Paris.
Parisians.
Okay, bye.
Parisians. Goodbye.
Okay, we're doing great. Well, that just leaves our special guests, Alex and Jasper. Are they together?
Negative.
Well, let's start with Jasper. Where is Jasper?
A jasper is a type of rock usually found in... Insert trivia here.
No, not Jasper the stone. Jasper the guest that picked the movie.
Jasper the guest is located in... Insert trivia here.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, how about Alex?
Connecting.
Alex, are you there?
Oh, there's no couscous here, but there's tons of pasta, but not enough couscous.
Wait, where are you?
I'm just walking the streets of Rome. It's beautiful, it's hot, but it's also couscousless.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, are you okay there?
Yeah, I'm having a good time.
Okay, great. Well, I'm sorry that you can't be a part of this party. Turns out everyone's kind of in the same boat anyway. The time machine placed everyone in different locations all over the world. Except me. Speaking of which, if you can't find couscous, please enjoy a piece of pizza for me.
Okay, I'll see if I can't bring back some pizza or something.
Oh my gosh, that would be so nice. Will you have fun?
Will do.
Nutritional deficiency detected. Generating couscous.
Oh, that's really nice of you. That's one of the first things that you've said that's made any sense. Now, can you locate Jasper, please?
Jasper, location, coordinates, error.
Okay, well, I guess we're just gonna have to figure this out later. Don't worry, everyone. We'll figure out where Jasper is, and hopefully the time machine has generated her a pocket as well to get home. And hopefully, Jasper isn't just encased in rock somewhere.
Variables unknown.
Okay, with that, this has been Memory Static with the Chipmunks Adventure. Return your videos here.
Location coordinates for video return established.
Which is here. Okay, great. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Connection terminated.
I wake up with the sun. done. Checking off my to-dos. I'm getting shit done. We all told we gotta do. And as a way to be, I don't do it for the man. I do it for me. Like the iron collective. Think you massage, your eyes need corrective. Eye is so big that you needed a bigger perspective. Think that you playing the game, but you taking the rules as a given. I never forget. I say what I mean and I mean what I say. And as long as I'm living, I never regret. Throw you away with a whip in my trunk. Chopping you down with my sacred technique like I'm chipping the monk. They all know that I'm in the room, but they don't talk about how I challenge out the whole status quo. Fly away like I'm Dumbo when they dump yo. And wake up with the sun like Blamio. Like Blamio. I do it.
Jasper and Alex Lewis.
And thank you to all of our party guests. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.